Hello, everyone, and welcome to Watermark Church's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now let's join Pastor Jarvis as we dive into the series of Colossians.
As we jump into this second week of Colossians, it's pretty awesome to think that Paul was writing this in chapter 4 of Colossians, talked about he wrote this with chains on, like he was writing this from chains, and it was addressed to the church of Colossae, but to the church, it's a younger church and just starting off, and so some baby Christians. But it was also written this to the people in Christ, the church, big C as a whole, which means to us too, but to the saints, not just in that time, but future and present. And he was just writing this to the church. And so this is a letter, if you want to put it into all these terms as we go through this. This is the town of Colossae was at a crossroads. Like it was the traffic point. A lot of places intermingled here. Like it's almost like the internet where everything gets moved and information gets passed. So a lot of religions were coming to this. And so what they were doing is taking the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were adding their own flavors to it. And so what Paul was trying to do was to peel back those layers and saying, listen, this is about the simplicity, the authenticity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need to add to it. This is the gospel of grace and love and peace. And so he was just saying, it's about the sufficiency of God. And so the whole book is this way. So he was just saying, this is what it is. So if we can, let's stand up this morning as we read the verse in Colossians 1, 1 through 3. We're not going to read a lot. We're going to dive into this, but I love this. And we're slowly working our way through this. Last week, we're in chapter 1. This week, we're in chapter 1. There's a lot here. But it says, this is Paul, apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters. This is what we preached on last week, who are in Christ, not apart from Christ. He's saying, listen, you can be outside of Christ, but they're in Christ. What does that mean, to remain? And he says, in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Father. We always thank God that our Father, Lord, and Jesus Christ, and we pray for you. Lord, I pray, open up our ears to hear what you have for us today, our hearts to receive, Lord, the good news of the gospel. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, we need you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, wave at somebody, say hi through your mask, and then grab a seat. That would be good. Hey, everybody. So this is kind of today broke up in two parts. Today's message is two parts. I'm going to kind of go through this in this verse. The first part is this. I love how he says, grace and peace is from our Father. And that's the point what I want to say is first part is grace and peace is from God. It says in Christ. It says that peace and grace is from God. It says it's not outside of God. And last week I talked about that I cut off a branch from this tree, and I talked about the vine and the branches and how we remain. And when we are disconnected, we are not reconnected to our source. We're not bearing fruit. We are not remaining. That we could look like the tree for a little bit, but really we're not slowly living. We're slowly dying. That inside, because we're not connected to the source, we're not in Christ, that we're not this. And listen, just like my cell phone, I put it in my pocket. It means wherever I go, it goes. Think about that is that when God moves, we move. And it's not like, and so it's not, we're just trying to go where God is. And so when we are in Christ, that means our business decisions, that means our relationship decisions, that means what we have to do is not like we're trying to have God catch up to us. That means that we're trying to remain into what God is doing so we stay in Christ. And so it says that peace, grace and peace is found in him, and it comes from him, in and from. Peace and grace is found in God because they are from God. They are found in him, and so when we were looking outside for peace and grace, we're not going to find the true peace and grace because that comes from God. That's where the source comes from. And so these are just fruits that manifest. We talked about being remaining and being connected. It manifests because we're connected, that we bear fruits, much fruit. Peace isn't the absence of something. Peace is the presence of someone. Peace is not the absence of a problem. Peace is not the absence of a situation. Peace is not found in removing something. Peace is actually found in connecting with God. Peace is found in someone. Peace is found in Him. And so peace is found in Christ. Peace is not the absence of a crisis. Peace is the presence of Christ. When you think about that, it is that when we remain, when we are in Him, we learn that our true peace, we talked about last week, our identity is found in Christ, and now we get that from Christ. So when we're connected, it works both ways. Peace is not something we feel, it's someone we know. And so I think about it this way, even the water is connected, the rivers flow into lakes, and how we get that way. Somehow, when you plug in your cell phone to the wall, you get a power source. And so when we are disconnected, we lose a charge. When we are not connected, we begin to lose our identity, who we are. The fruits of the Spirit, when we are bare fruit, we are connected to the source. Galatians says, 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And let remind you, these are not just characteristics that you need to have. This is characteristics of who God is. This is His character. He is love. He is joy. He's love. It says that if you don't know this, think about this. He's joy because it says this: the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not my joy, it's His. It says the love of God. It says His peace that comes in. It's His grace. So if you need more grace and peace, then you need to stay connected to the source of grace and peace. Grace and peace come from our Father. So the more you hang out with Him, the more He will rub off on you. You guys ever seen it before? Where when people have pets and they're all about their dogs or their cats, they begin to look like their dogs and cats. You ever have friends like that? When they walk him down the street, they kind of, even they might put clothes on that look similar. They might, because even have a friend that you grew up with that you begin to act like and look like you wear the same clothes, because you, the more you are with somebody or something, the more you take on traits. So the more, now listen, the more we spend time with the Lord, the source, the more grace and peace we'll recognize. Part two is this, and I want to really camp here for a little bit. It says, always thank God. The verse says this. I love what Paul's saying here in verse 3, and he says this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. He's not saying, I'm just thankful for you. Listen, I'm thankful for Jonathan. But there's a difference when I say, I thank God for Jonathan. This is what Paul's saying. He says, I'm not thankful for this. I thank God for this. He's saying to the church, he says, I'm not just thankful for your church and your friendship. I thank God always for you. You might think, well, what's the big deal? I think the big deal is recognizing first the source of his thankfulness. He's saying, God, I just got to thank you. I just got to thank you, Lord. He is thanking God first and always. He says, I always thank God. So my question for you is, what if we live this way? What if we made that our always and our first? How would our life look differently if we thank God right away and we thank God first? How would it look? There was a study that said this: a wide variety of substantial studies have found that gratitude or thankfulness increases patience, decreases some depression, replenishes willpower, and reduces stress. It doesn't just lengthen life. Being thankful actually improves life. So if you want a good night's sleep, don't just count sheep, count your blessings. What are we thankful for? I think what's interesting is this, is that we live in a culture where there's more grumbling and complaining than there is actually thankfulness. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said again later, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Jesus Christ." Now I'm just going to point this out. In this situation, like how Jonathan said it, it's the C word I don't want to say, COVID. But it's funny. Think about this situation where we're in right now. It has been way too easy for us to grumble and complain. This is why I want to share this today. I've seen the body of Christ, believers, who should be the most gracious and gratitude-filled people, counting our blessings, yet grumbling and complaining. This is what Paul was saying. He says, always rejoice, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, even in COVID, even in times of trouble, even in situations that we don't know. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. He says, listen, give thanks. Worship God. Many years ago, one of my mentors told me this. There's two types of people. There's two options that you can have. You can choose to be a complainer, or you can choose to be a worshiper. That is your choice every day. You can choose to complain, because complainers will always find something else to complain about. When they're complaining about this and it gets fixed, guess what? They're going to find something else to complain about until that gets fixed. Worshippers will always find something to worship God about. We are not called to be complainers. We are called to be worshipers who thank the Lord in all circumstances. Thankful or complaining, that's our decision. Gratitude comes from the word grace. A person who begun to accept gracious love from the Lord. The word thanksgiving actually comes from the word think. So when we think about the words gratitude and thanksgiving, we think of the words grace. I'm thinking it through, thinking about God's grace in my life. That we thank God, that we are thankful for what God has done, that we are thankful for what he's doing in our lives today, that we are thankful that we're in a situation that we can be together, that we are thankful how God has provided, that we are thankful that we give thanks no matter what. Dan and Brianna, you guys can come up here as we wrap this up. In Luke 17, 11 through 17, this is not going to be on the screen. I didn't want to put up there as a long scripture verse, but I'm just going to read this. This says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance," probably 6 foot distance, probably sure, right? Because that's what we're doing today. "They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When they saw him, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were all cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not 10 people healed and cleansed? Where are the other 9? So the question I have for us is this. Think about your life, that what God has done, how he's provided. You might be going through a situation right now where you need some provision. But remember in different ways how he's provided in the past. Would you consider yourself the 1 or the 9? It's interesting to me because I remember at the altar praying for people for jobs. And I remember praying for people. They're saying, if I just had this job, my life would be better. And we pray and God provides a job. And then within a few months, they're grumbling and complaining about that job. And they said, I'm like, the same job we prayed and was a miracle is now the same job they're grumbling and complaining about. Think about that. I look at people who just go from, it's like it becomes almost addictive for us to just grumble, 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 grumble. Why is this happening to us? Why are they attacking us? Why are they coming at us? Why is this happening? Can I just tell you a surefire way for you to change your perspective is to thank God more than you complain. Thank God more than you complain. I'm just going to encourage you this. If you complain, it's like, listen, it's like if somebody's trying to count calories and work out, maybe you eat a donut and you bike for 50 miles to get rid of that donut. I don't care what you do. I'm talking spiritually, though. What if you catch yourself complaining and you just say, I got to thank God for 5 more things because of that one complaint? What if we just start changing? Are you part of the one or are you part of the 9? I really believe in my heart that gratitude is a pilgrimage back to the cross of Jesus Christ. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If we lost everything like Job, everything was gone. We lost everything. You talk about gratitude. Job lost everything. At the very end of the book, he writes, but God, I will still serve you. It's hard to trust you, but I'm still going to serve you. I'm going to worship you. I believe as believers, we need to get to the point where, listen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If all you have is Jesus Christ, isn't that all you need? Isn't that all you need to worship and the praise? The grace and the love of Jesus Christ is more than enough. That right there should give us enough reasons to worship all the days of our lives, no matter what may happen, no matter what circumstance may happen. We can just stand up this morning. I believe it's our choice to be thankful. It's our choice to make a decision every day and saying, God, I'm going to choose to be thankful. Some people say, why would you worship? You know why I worship? Sometimes it doesn't even feel good. Sometimes did you ever worship and your arm just feels heavy and you're just like, oh, I don't want to worship today. You know why I worship? Not because I deserve it. I worship because he deserves it. I worship because of a gratitude of praise. It says in Scripture, count your blessings and name them one by one. That means your job is to name your blessings. Name them. I can ask you right now. I can ask Jonathan right now. Are you thankful for this past 6 months? Well, he's not thankful for what happened with his friend. But I'm sure there's a lot of areas to be thankful for what God has been doing around a situation. And listen, we're not going to say, hey, thank God for COVID. But guess what? Thank God for what you're doing in me in the midst of COVID. Thank God that my family's health. Thank God what you're showing in me. Thank God what you're revealing. Thank God of a church family that can do things together. Thank God of your grace and your mercies are new every morning. Did you wake up and God's mercies are new today? Whatever happened yesterday is new. That's something to be thankful about. You took a breath last night. Listen, our world is spinning right now through the solar system, and we're not, who's driving that one? The Lord. Thank God for air. Thank God for life. Dude, we just got to thank the Lord. My challenge for you is like, let's get our mind out of the grumbling and the worst case scenarios and say, God, you are the best. You are the best thing ever. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to, if you are here this morning and you need to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're watching online or maybe you're here in person. I believe today is a new start for you. New day for you. Maybe you heard Jonathan's story or something popped in, Holy Spirit speaking to you. But if you're here this morning and you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, I just want you to raise your hand. Even at home, just raise your hand. Make that decision for the Lord this morning. It's worth it. Best decision you ever make. It's awesome. It's awesome. But we repeat after me, dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Be the Lord and Savior of my heart and of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you said that prayer, we have some stuff for you. But listen, we're going to end with worship like we do every Sunday. And listen, I'm encouraging you, take this time. If you don't want to say the words, say your own words. But let's just take this time to worship and thank the Lord before we leave this morning.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us today here at Watermark Church. If you have any questions or want to learn more, you can visit us at www.stillwatermark.com. Thank you.